Shri Prahlad Uvacha Pramadaya Suragana Munayo Tasiddha Satvai Katana Katayo Vachasam Pravaha Naraditam Puruganayar Aduna Pinpipru Kim Toshti Marhati Same Hari Ugra Pyachate. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words. Although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness, then what is to say of me? I am not at all qualified." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A Vaishnava who is fully qualified to serve the Lord still thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers to the Lord. For example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, "Jagai madhai hoite muni se papishta, Pudusera lata hoite muni se lagishta." Thus he considers himself unqualified, lower than the worms in stool, and more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. A pure Vaishnava actually thinks of himself in this way. Similarly, although Prahlad Maharaj was a pure, exalted Vaishnava, he thought himself most unqualified to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. Mahajano yena katasa panta. Every pure Vaishnava should think like this. One should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnava qualifications. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore instructed us, "Ninadapi sunichena taror iva sihishnana. Amanina madadena kirtaniya sadahari." One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is meek and humble to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. I thank everyone for being here this evening. It is my very great fortune to be amongst all of you once again. This evening we are celebrating the appearance of Lord Narasimha Dev. This verse is being offered to the Lord by his dear devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. In this chapter, Lord Narasimhadev not only accepts the praise of Prahlad, but reciprocates by praising Prahlad. Actually, everything Prahlad Maharaj is explaining in his prayers to Narasimhadev is being spoken for the ultimate welfare of all living beings. And whatever Narasimhadev responded by speaking to Prahlad is for all of our ultimate benefit. The Lord personally said that because Prahlad Maharaj is such a humble, gentle, tolerant, truthful, self-controlled devotee, therefore, anyone who understands his character and makes a sincere effort to follow in his footsteps will achieve the highest goal of life. What is that highest goal of life? Pure, unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Lord. I will speak very briefly, because a shortage of time, of the wonderful incidents that has brought us to this place in Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit was inquiring from Shukadev Goswami about how the Lord is equal to all living beings. He is not partial to anyone. When it appears that he's partial to his devotees. Shukadev Goswami explains that living entities in this conditioned state are under the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And therefore, they are always under the conceptions of dualities. Friend, enemy, pleasure, pain, happiness, distress, good, bad. The three modes of material nature continuously create dualities that we have to face in our life, both within and without. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above the modes of material nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. Maya, which is the energy in which the three modes of material nature exists, is eternally under the control of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna never sees anything within the mundane realm of duality. Therefore, the Lord, being supremely transcendental, is equal to everyone. He's the well-wisher of everyone. He reciprocates according to how we approach him. And then he explains, even the great demons, even these great demons, they, when the Lord kills them, which is the best thing for them, they get liberated. They achieve such an exalted state of life. That is the Lord's mercy. So yes, we should not think in a narrow, materialistic way that God is good to some and bad to others. The Lord is good to everyone. He knows what is best for everyone. And according to our desires, according to our actions, the Lord reciprocates, either directly through his spiritual energy or indirectly through his material energies. Material suffering is due to persons who implicate themselves in karmic activities. And the Lord, in his impartial way, just allows them to go ahead and live their lives according to their own independent will and implicate themselves in these laws of karma, which are, the laws of karma are equal to everyone. If you commit sinful activities, you're going to get the reaction no matter who you are. That is impartiality. If you commit pious activities, you're going to get the fruits of the pleasures of those activities no matter who you are. And sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. If you surrender to the Lord, it doesn't matter whether you're man or woman or Eastern or Western or literate or illiterate, it doesn't matter what caste or what material designations, if you surrender to the Lord, you will achieve the ultimate mercy of the Lord. The real happiness that everyone is searching for is equally available for everyone. But according to our activities in this life and previous lives, it simply creates an environment around us that may make it more easy or more difficult to achieve. Then Yudhisthira asks, Yudhisthira Maharaj asks Narada Muni. And Parikshit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami first, that how is it? Yudhisthira asks this, how is this? I saw Shishupal when he was killed. He was the most envious tyrant in the world. He attained liberation. We all saw his body enter into Krishna's body. So Narada Muni explains how anyone, whoever they are, if they become absorbed in Krishna, they become purified. Even though Shishupal was so envious, somehow or ever, he was envious of Krishna. Therefore, he was constantly thinking of Krishna. From his infancy, he was thinking of Krishna with hatred. Every moment of the day, he was speaking against Krishna. But because his mind was engrossed in Krishna, Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksam sabaya abhyantara suci. Krishna is all pure. He ultimately became purified by always remembering Krishna. In fact, Narada Muni tells Yudhisthira, I wish I could be so absorbed in Krishna as Shishupal was. That was his humility. And then he told a beautiful story, which I will have to very much summarize. He told a story of a very, very great devotee, Prahlad. Prahlad had such wonderful characteristics, even as a little child. He was always thinking about Krishna. When he'd feel separation from Krishna, he would weep and cry like a baby. When he would feel the presence of Krishna, he would dance in jubilation. Ecstatic symptoms were decorating his body at all times. He was polite. He was well-mannered. He was always humble, respectful, self-controlled, tolerant. He was equally loving every living being. But his father horribly tormented him and tried in so many ways to murder him. When Parikshit Maharaj heard this from Sukadeva Goswami, he was amazed. How is this possible? We do not see in this world, if a child is obedient and respectful, why would a parent want to kill him? Every parent has affection for their child. Sometimes a parent may chastise the child, but actually the parent is chastising the child to teach the child a good lesson out of affection. But what kind of a horrible situation would occur where the father wants to murder the son and torture the son? So to answer this question, Sukadeva Goswami told this beautiful story. Hiranyakashipu, he was lamenting over the death of his brother, Hiranyaksha, who was killed by Lord Varahadev. He was trying to pacify Rahu Bahu, the wife of Hiranyaksha, and his own mother, Diti. He spoke some very, very nice philosophy in which he explained the difference between the body and the soul. There's really no reason to lament because the body never dies. The body is never connected to the soul. The soul never dies. In one sense, the body never dies either. It just transforms into different elements. Actually, nothing dies. It's just a conception of change that we call death. And he explained a beautiful story about a bird, a Kurari bird. This was a story that Yamaraj told the queens of Suyagya, who died on a battlefield, because the queens could not give up their dead husband's body. They were so attached to it. So Yamaraj came as a little boy, because people like to listen to philosophy of little boys. When old sannyasis speak, people fall asleep. But when a children speaks philosophy, very, very interesting. So he tells a story about this one bird who had a very nice family. And the wife was pierced and killed by a hunter. And the husband bird was so much distressed. He was just wailing and crying, "How will I live without my wife? Who will speak sweet words like my wife? Who will take care of my needs like my wife? How will I go on in this world without my wife?" And he was just crying so loud that the hunter called him and pierced his head too. Haribo. In this way, Yamaraj was explaining that the nature of this world is things do not always happen the way we want. But we must go on with our lives, and we must ultimately strive for the highest purpose in life. So Hiranyakashipu spoke according to the Vedas and pacified his relatives. But then he expressed his own vengeful anger that Vishnu killed my brother, Vishnu will die. I will cut his head from his trunk and I will drink his blood and offer that blood to my departed brother who liked the taste of blood very much. Then he went to perform tapasya at the Mandara mountain in a valley. Such severe tapasya he performed. For 100 celestial years he stood on the tips of his toes with his arms raised without eating, drinking. He didn't even breathe. He attained such supernatural powers. At first, the demigods, they were just afraid. But then, the fire came from his head. It was so hot, that the heat was unbearable in the lower, middle, and higher planets. Ultimately, the devatas went to Brahma and said, "You have to do something about this Hiranyakashipu." So Lord Brahma, he prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord spoke to him and told him that Hiranyakashipu, ultimately, he will die when he persecutes his own son. Hare Krishna. So Brahma came down and he put some water from Kamandalu. Actually, he couldn't find Hiranyakashipu because there was an anthill that formed around him and the ants completely ate all of his flesh. But by his yogic powers, he was keeping his life force alive within the skeleton of bones that remained. So when Brahma sprinkled his celestial waters on him, Hiranyakashipu manifested his very healthy, full-fledged, powerful form. Very powerful form. And he prayed to Brahma as the Supreme Personality and offered his prostrated obeisances and offered beautiful prayers and praise of Brahma, not because he loved Brahma, but because he wanted benedictions from Brahma. This is materialistic worship. We worship the Lord or even the demigods because we want something from them. So Brahma was obliged. He asked for several benedictions. He wanted to be immortal. But Brahma told him, "I am not immortal, so how can I make you immortal?" So he wanted to trick him because he was very intelligent. that I will not die by any living entity of any of the species of life, either the demigods or the human beings or the yakshas or the kinaras or the gandharvas. I will not die by any weapon. I will not die in either day or night. I will not die in either the water, the land, or the air. I will not die either inside or outside. Haribo. So Brahma bestowed all these benedictions. So Hiranyakashipu felt himself indestructible. And he sent his armies to just terrorize the whole world. These terrorists today are very small time. And you see what trouble they cause. Well, Hiranyakashipu and his people, they were really powerful terrorists. They would not allow any religious principles to be followed in any way, shape, or form. Anything that was good, they destroyed. They were destroying the places of the cows. They were destroying the places of the Brahmins. Ultimately, they went to the Lord. Actually, that's when the Lord said that I will come. I will come when he harasses my devotee. So they waited. Hiranyakashipu had four sons. One of them, the best of them, was Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu sent Prahlad when he was just 5 years of age to the Gurukula. The guru was Sukracharya, who was the ritualistic teacher of Hiranyakashipu. Now, Sukracharya had two sons, Sanda and Amarka. They were running the Gurukula. They were teaching all subjects like politics, economics, diplomacy, and everything that was connected. And Prahlad Maharaj was so humble, so obedient, so nice, that they considered him their best student. They were so proud of him. So one day they brought him before Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, when he saw his little son, his heart melted. He picked up Prahlad and embraced him, placed him on his lap, and affectionately smelled his head with tears flowing from his eyes. And he wanted to ask his little five-year-old son a very easy question to answer. He said, "My dear son, of all subjects you have learned in school, what do you consider to be the best of knowledge?" And Prahlad Maharaj, after offering obeisances to his father and offering him all respectful words, he answered his question. Tatsaru manye suravarya dehinam sadasam udvignadiyam asadgrahat. Hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam vanam gatoya dharimashrayeta. Said, "My dear father, oh best of the demons." That's praise, actually. He said, "A person who cannot control his mind and senses, a person who is submersed in materialistic way of thinking, in materialistic household life, finds himself in a very deep, dark well of suffering where there's no water and no one can hear him. There's only suffering. Therefore, my dear father, get out of this well. Go to the forest of Vrindavan and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Little Prahlad is speaking like this to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was shocked. He began to laugh very loudly, indignantly. He said, "How has the enemy inflicted the heart of my son?" He called Sanda and Amarka, and he said, "Somehow or other, Vaishnavas has infiltrated your school." and is polluting my little innocent son. Now take him back to school and guard him carefully and teach him proper knowledge. So they took him back to school. They said, Prahlad, where did you hear these things from? Prahlad Maharaj replied that all you're teaching me is that this is who your friend is and how to best exploit your friend. And this is who your enemy is and how to somehow overcome, defeat, or destroy your enemy. That's what politics is about. You're telling me all about how the goal of life is economic development, to make money, to have power. But I cannot see things in terms of friends and enemy. It just doesn't make sense to me. It does not sit in my heart. Why? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like a magnet, and I'm like a piece of iron, and I'm endlessly attracted to him. Pick up a stick. Let us beat him. Let us torture him. So they tried to wreak fear in his heart. Then they put him in the school. And he was such a nice student, so nice student. For many, many days, they taught him all the classes that Hiranyakashipu approved of. And Prahlad Maharaj just seemed to be so obedient and so respectful and so submissive. It seemed like he learned everything perfectly. So they were very proud. Let us take him to his father. His father will certainly reward us. So they brought him to his mother, Kayadu. And she bathed him and put nice new clothes on him and ornaments and brought him before Hiranyakashipu. Shall I continue? Little Prahlad offered his full prostrated obeisances to his father. And his father picked him up and embraced him, placed him on his lap, and smelled his head with tears in his eyes. He said, "Oh, Prahlad, you have been doing so well in school. Please tell me, what is the best subject that you learned?" And Prahlad Maharaj, in innocence, simplicity, and total humility, he replied, "Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Bandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam." That, "My dear father, there are 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering the glories of the Supreme Lord. And one who follows these 9 processes of devotional service will achieve the mercy of the Lord and achieve the greatest perfection." Matirna Krishne Paratasvatoba Mitobipadyeti Grihavratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Punapunash Charavatacharavananam. But those who have uncontrolled minds and senses, they cannot understand the absolute truth. Due to their materialistic conditionings, they continue to chew that which has already been chewed in the form of material enjoyments, the objects of the senses, and prestige. Mental gratification means profit, adoration, and distinction. And sensual, gross sensual satisfaction comes through the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, the tongue, and the flesh. So he explained that all these pleasures, by trying to enjoy, is simply chewing that which has already been chewed. Prabhupada explains that we've been chewing these things since time immemorial for 8,400,000 species of life, and we're just, again, trying to get some juice out of it. Prahlad continued that those who do not control their mind and senses and are pursuing this chewing of the chewed, they cannot understand Krishna, either by their own efforts or even with the help of others. Nateva dusvara takatim habishnum, my dear father, The ultimate goal of life is Vishnu. But people are blindly following blind people who are simply leading them into the ditch of material suffering. But what is the solution, my father? Naisham atishtava rukramangrin sprishatyanartha pagamonityata mahiyasam padarajobishekam niskinchananam nabrinitayavat. That one should smear the dust of the feet of the great Vaishnavas on one's body. Every limb, one should do abhishek of one's body with the dust of the feet of the great devotees who have no material attachments to this world, who are completely attached to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is the best subject I learned, my father. Hiranyakashipu was outraged. It was beyond his control to hear this from his son. With utter rage, he pushed his son off his lap and threw him to the ground. And then he ordered that he must be killed by whatever means, whether he's eating or sleeping or awake, anytime, any way, kill him. He is my enemy. Hiranyakashipu was so angry. He said, this Prahlad is the killer of my brother because he has taken shelter of Vishnu who killed my brother. Kill him immediately. So these Rakshasa soldiers, who were horrible creatures, very, very powerful, they just dragged Prahlad. And first they took sharpened tridents, swords, daggers, and weapons and tried to stab him to death. Prahlad didn't even try to protect himself. Mari Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mari Ke. He was just depending on Krishna. Krishna, if you want to kill me, then I'm happy to die. And if you want to protect me, then what can they do to hurt me? He was simply immersed in remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. They couldn't kill him. They threw him in a pit of venomous snakes. But even they wouldn't bite him. They took him to the top of a mountain peak and threw him off a cliff. They threw him under the feet of mad, stampeding elephants. They fed him deadly poison. They put him in fire. They tried to freeze him in frigid cold. They threw him under the ocean and put a mountain on top of him to hold him there. According to the Bhagavatam, they tried thousands of ways of killing him, but they couldn't. Hiranyakashipu was watching it all. And he was becoming very, very frustrated. When they practically ran out of ideas of how to kill him, Hiranyakashipu felt terrible fear in his heart. He said, if I cannot kill him, then he will be the cause of death to me. He was very, very disturbed. Hiranyakashipu thought that this son of mine is like, what is the example he used? Sandanamarka, they said he was like a thorn bush that grows in a forest of sandalwood trees. And what happens is that thorn bush is used to be the handle of an axe. The axe is Vishnu. The handle is the thorn, and it chops down the whole forest of sandalwood trees. So similarly, Prahlad is like that handle, Vishnu is like the axe, and he's going to destroy our whole dynasty. Hiranyakashipu used the example that if a yogi cannot control his mind and senses, the mind and senses destroy him. Similarly, If I cannot control Prahlad, then he will be the cause of my destruction. So they tried every possible means of killing him, but they couldn't. Hiranyakashipu actually became so depressed, he lost all of his luster. He became totally overcome with moroseness. Sanda and Amarka saw this. And they told Hiranyakashipu that, O king, when you just move one of your eyebrows, all the demigods tremble in fear. Why should you be afraid of a 5-year-old little boy? He's innocent. He'll change his ways. Don't take him so seriously. Let us take him back to school. And after some time, when he grows up a little out of this immature stage, he will become a very good servant of yours. So Hiranyakashipu got some hope. Yes, take him back to school. Again, Prahlad listened very carefully. At least he appeared to be very respectful, very submissive. And the teachers were really thinking, he's catching on. He's becoming deprogrammed from this bhakti cult. So one day, the teachers, they left the students to perform some of their household duties. That was playtime. All these little 5-year-old sons of the demons, they came together and said, Prahlad, let us play together. And Prahlad began to give a Bhagavad discourse. The student, he said, I want to speak to you. So they all gathered around him. Komara acharit pragyo dharman bhagavatani ha durlabham manusan janma tar apyatru vamartatam. He began his teachings in this way. That you are all children. This human life is so precious. Every moment is so valuable. Why should you waste any time in this human life? You don't know when you may die. Now is the time, at the tender age of childhood, to take to the path of pure devotional service. It's the natural energy of every living entity. It's our only real form of happiness. Please, my friends, now become very serious about your spiritual lives. Prahlad Maharaj then spoke to his students so beautifully, so perfectly, the whole philosophy of how to achieve the perfection of love of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of giving classes from those verses. This little 5-year-old Prahlad, his teachings to his classmates so perfectly illustrate the essence of the philosophy of life, that even the greatest acharyas in the world's history worship these teachings. We only have 8 minutes, so we will not speak so much teachings. But the students, they all became Vaishnavas. They all became great devotees. They asked Prahlad, how did you learn all these things? Because you're in the same school as us, with the same, we're your only friends. And besides, when you come to school and stay with us, you're in the palace of Hiranyakashipu. Where did you learn about this wonderful philosophy of pure devotion to Vishnu? And he revealed the truth. He said, when my father went to Mandara Mountain Valley and was performing tapasya, the demigods kidnapped my mother. And they were about, their idea was that the pregnant mother is holding a child who is the son of Hiranyakashipu. Like father, like son. We will wait till he is born, then we will destroy him. See, abortion was not even a consideration We will wait till he is born, then destroy him. But on the way to the heavenly planets, Narada Muni stopped and said, actually, this is Mahabhagavat. You should not touch him. He's a great devotee of Vishnu. So the demigods accepted. They offered prayers and circumambulate the child within the womb of the wife of Hiranyakashipu. Narada Muni took her to his ashram and spoke Bhagavad Dharma, the science of self-realization. The mother heard everything, and the little embryo in the womb heard every word. When Hiranyakashipu came home, Narada sent his wife back to her. In the association of her husband, she forgot the teachings, but Prahlad never forgot a word. In this way, yes, Prahlad made all his classmates great devotees of the Lord, immersed in hearing and chanting the Lord's glories. When Sanda and Amarka came into the class and saw them all chanting and dancing in ecstasy, they became very, very disturbed. They brought Prahlad and just threw him before his father and said, he has ruined our whole school, and told him all the details. At that point, Hiranyakashipu was outraged beyond any control. He said, you rascal, you killer of my brother, you impudent, unforgiving person. You deserve to die at my hands. How dare you think that you are so great that you are not under my control? You speak about someone who is a greater controller than me? Well, where is this person? Tell me, where is this person who you call the supreme controller, Vishnu? Prahlad replied, my father, he is everywhere. The same power, the same person who gives you power and me power and everyone power, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. And he's residing everywhere, my father. Hiranyakashipu could not believe he answered that question in that way. He became so enraged. He said, you say he's everywhere? Is he in the column of my palace? Prahlad said, yes, everywhere, my father. Then Hiranyakashipu cried out in a voice that thundered in all directions, then let me see him protect you, because at this moment I am going to kill you. He drew his sword, and as he was just about to run to sever Prahlad's head, he, in defiance with his fist, he pounded on the pillar. As soon as he pounded on the pillar began to tremble. And this loud, screeching sound literally echoed throughout the entire universe. Hiranyakashipu had never heard anything like this. He stood there looking at the trembling pillar, and then the pillar broke and manifested Narasingha Dev Bhagavan. He was half man, half lion. His eyes were glowing like molten gold in anger. His mane was erect in all directions. He was so huge, his mane was scattering the clouds in the sky. His mouth and his nostrils were like gaping, deep, dark caves. His tongue was moving about like a dueling sword. He had a thick neck, large, broad chest, thin waist. He had many, many arms with large, razor-sharp nails. And he roared. And that roaring, Hiranyakashipu could not tolerate it. All the demigods heard the roarings and the heavenly planets and came down in their airplanes to see, what is this? Nobody had ever seen a form like this. Hiranyakashipu came to the conclusion, this is my enemy, Vishnu. But no one can defeat me. Today he will enter the abode of Yamaraj. This was his false pride. He drew his sword and his shield and he attacked. It's like a little insect flying into a fire. And the fight went on. It's explained he appeared somewhere around noon, and they actually fought for many hours. It was about this time. Actually, Hiranyakashipu was fighting so ferociously, and Narsingadev was just playing with him like a cat plays with a little tiny mouse. Narsingadev grabbed him, and then Hiranyakashipu was wiggling around, and he got loose, and he thought, "Yah! The Lord is afraid of me. He cannot keep me." He was convinced he will kill Narsingadev. Convinced. Sometimes he was in the air, sometimes he was in the ground, he was flying in all directions, displaying all kinds of mysticism. But Narsingadev was just laughing so loud. The whole time Hiranyakashipu had his eyes closed because he couldn't bear to see this form of the Lord. And ultimately the Lord grabbed him. Actually, he grabbed him, and Hiranyakashipu was shaking and with all of his powers. And Narsingadev just took him in his hands and he sat right in the doorway of the palace, placed Hiranyakashipu on his lap. It was just at the time of the sunset. It was neither day or night. He was neither inside or outside. Narsingadev was neither an animal or a man, or any living entity. He was the Supreme Lord. He was neither on the air, the water, or the land. He was on the lap of the Lord. And Brahma's benediction, no weapon. So Narsingadev took his own nails and tore his stomach open, took out his heart, and threw it on the ground. Then took his intestines and put them on himself as a garland of victory. Then threw that wasp, Hiranyakashipu, on the ground like a piece of garbage. Hare Krishna. Narsingadev Bhagavan ki! At that time, tens and thousands of rakshasas, armed military soldiers with weapons, attacked. And the Lord, just with the tips of his nails, destroyed all of them. Arivo. And then after everyone was finished, Narsingadev entered the palace and sat on Hiranyakashipu's throne, growling. That time Brahma, Shiva, the Kanaras, the Vidyadharas, they all came together to offer prayers to Lord Narsingadev. But despite all their prayers, the Lord was still trembling and growling in anger. Then Lord Brahma said to Prahlad that he came specifically for you. Please pacify him. Little Prahlad was completely fearless. He was like a little cub who knew the love of the mother lion. That was Lord Chaitanya's prayer. He went before Narsingadev and offered his humble obeisances. And when the Lord saw little Prahlad, he placed his hand on Prahlad's head. Immediately, Prahlad became completely transcendentally infused with his mercy. And the Lord became satisfied, peaceful. Then Prahlad offered beautiful prayers. He introduces himself as coming in a family of demons. In today's prayer, he's presenting to the Lord, how is it possible for me to offer suitable prayers to you? I have been born in a family of asuras. To offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words. Although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness, then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. In this beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada reveals who really Prahlad is. Really, what is his qualification? Narada Muni tells Yudhisthira Maharaj that wherever there is discussion of the Supreme Lord and the great devotees, the topic of Prahlad will always come up. How exalted! But yet he's considering himself most fallen, most unqualified. Prabhupada explains here that a Vaishnav who is fully qualified to serve the Lord still thinks himself extremely low. And then he gives example of Kaviraj Goswami, who considers himself more lowly than a worm in stool, more sinful than Jagai and Madai. And Prabhupada explains, he wasn't just saying this, he's feeling this. This is the nature of a great devotee. Trinadapi sunichena taror iba sihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Prabhupada quotes this verse, and listen carefully to Prabhupada's conclusion. He said, unless one is meek and humble in this way, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. Mahajano yena katasapanta. Prahlad Maharaj is one of the great Mahajans. To follow in his footsteps is the only true path to spiritual perfection. In this material existence, we are so much programmed and conditioned to think that the more great we think we are, the more successful we are. We want to become proud. But here we find that unless we somehow or other, with our good intelligence, with good association, with good sadhana, we learn to overcome this tendency, then it's very, very difficult to make any progress. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that humility and simplicity are the fundamental basic principles that we must accept to actually make spiritual advancement. Because these are the qualities that the Lord appreciates. And all of our spiritual progress is according to how we please the Lord. Yes, Prahlad's prayers, when he was only 5 years old, constitute the very essence of all knowledge. Lord Narasimhadeva was so very pleased with Prahlad. He offered him any benedictions. He offered him heavenly planets, liberation, mystic powers, everything and anything. And Prahlad refused to take any benediction. Prahlad said, my Lord, if I'm serving you with expectation that you're going to give me something material in return, then I'm not a devotee. I'm a merchant doing business with you, giving and receiving. This is trading. For me to be your devotee means unconditional, unmotivated service to you. I'm serving for your satisfaction, my Lord. Can you imagine? Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard Prahlad's mentality. Even when he was tormented in the most difficult ways, he never blamed Krishna. tateno kampamsa samichamano munjana evatma kritam vipaga. With folded hands, Bhagavatam describes, even when we're put in inconceivable difficult situations, we offer obeisances with grateful heart to the Lord. Such a person will always receive the mercy of the Lord. Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. This was Prahlad. How much he went through and remained faithful to the Lord and didn't want anything except the Lord's pleasure. That is a hoitaki prat. That is real religion. Narasingha Dev gave Prahlad a benediction of his own accord. He said, you will live in this world and I will coronate you as king in replace of your father. And you will rule the world for 1 manvantar and you'll never forget me. You will always be immersed in my loving service. And at the end of your life, you will come back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. Prahlad Maharaj accepted. But he revealed his heart to the Lord. He said, I don't want to be in the Himalayas doing solitary worship of you. I don't even want to go back to Godhead. As long as there's even one person who's suffering due to forgetfulness of you, let me be in this world to serve them. And Prabhupada quotes from the Puranas that actually Prahlad simultaneously lives in Vaikuntha and in this world, helping others become Krishna conscious in the Sutala Loka. That was his desire. That was his compassion. That was the spirit Prabhupada tried to impregnate within our hearts. There is nothing that pleases the Lord more than the spirit of compassion to others. Paradukaduki. To be pained to see others in forgetfulness of God. Look at Prahlad. Even his father, who took the role of a demon, he was willing to stay in his palace and preach to him, to all of his classmates. He didn't care. He didn't care about his own happiness, distress, life or death. He was an instrument of Krishna's compassion. And that is the highest service to the Lord. And what is the greatest way to show such compassion in this world? By spreading the glories of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the essence of all religions, is to chant the names of the Lord and to be instruments of the Lord's compassion to the fallen souls. Prahlad Maharaj illustrated that example in such a glorious way. And then Prahlad asked only one thing of Narasingha Dev. He said, my father, he hated you. He blasphemed you, even up to the point of his death. It grieves my heart. Please free him of his offenses. What type of a saint is Prahlad? Asks nothing for himself, although he's offered everything in all the material and spiritual worlds. He only asks for a benediction for the person who hated him and tried to kill him. Narasingha Dev's heart melted. What compassion. He said, Prahlad, he died in my hands. Anyone who becomes a pure devotee following in your footsteps, all of their forefathers for 21 generations will be liberated. You'll be just now liberated from this class also. Srila Prabhupada explains that when one becomes a genuine selfless devotee, 21 generations of one's relatives are liberated. That means all your relatives in this life, and all your relatives in your past life, and all your relatives in your past life before that. For 21 generations, all your mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and relatives, they'll all be liberated if you just become pure in your heart. This benediction was not just given to Prahlad, it was given to all living beings who follow in his footsteps. So on this most holy event of Narasingha Chaturdasi, let us thank Srila Prabhupada from the core of our hearts for giving us such an aspiration, pure undivided devotion to the Supreme Lord. He has given us Prahlad Maharaj and all the acharyas as examples and ideals to follow in our lives. The ideals of humility, compassion, and love. That is what Prahlad's whole life constitutes. Tolerance, forgiveness, humility, and compassion in his love for the Lord. Let us pray that we can all help each other to follow in the holy footprints of Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and the great Vaishnavas, and cleanse our hearts and cleanse the world with the chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
After this benediction, Narsingadev disappeared, and on his order, Prahlad performed the last rites of his father to show his love. And after performing the last rites on this very day, today, Prahlad was coronated as the king of the world. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki, Shri Narasingha Dev ki. Thank you very much.